We're 1 month from the annual United Nations Climate Change Conference, which this year will be held in Glasgow. As it stands, 129 countries have agreed to a target of net zero greenhouse gas emissions by the year 2050. Australia, however, is not one of them and has so far yet to commit to that target. As international pressure increases, Prime Minister Scott Morrison has said he is building a plan to achieve net zero emissions by 2050. The spanner in the works, however, is his National Party colleagues who continue to push back. Nationals leader and Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce is in the midst of discussions with the PM over a path towards carbon neutrality. In recent days, he's come under fire for attempting to link the fuel crisis in the UK to their transition away to renewables, largely ignoring the market forces affecting gas prices and the shortage of lorry drivers in the UK since Brexit. This morning, we're joined by Mr. Joyce's colleague and Australia's Resources Minister and Nationals MP Keith Pitt. Good morning, Minister, and welcome to The Daily.
Good morning to you and good morning to listeners.
Well, first of all, if the PM proposes that Australia go to Glasgow with a commitment to net zero by 2050, can we expect the Nationals to sign up to that?
Well, firstly, our government has already taken real and practical action. I don't think anyone should be surprised that the Nationals stand up for their constituents who potentially are directly impacted in terms of their economy and jobs into the future. And secondly, we don't have a proposal yet. So it's people are getting a little bit too much in front of themselves right now. We need to see what's being proposed.
Okay, so that's a no then. The Nationals won't support net zero emissions by 2050.
Well, look, I want to be very clear. This is a decision that will be made by the Nationals party room, by a discussion with my colleagues and those members of parliament represent those big regional areas. And once again, we don't have a proposal.
The Nationals, the New South Wales Nationals leader and Deputy Premier John Barilaro has this morning backed new climate change targets, which would see our state's emissions halved by 2030. Now, this is completely at odds with federal counterparts like yourself. Can I ask, what is your position in regard to a gradual shift towards renewable energy?
Well, look, firstly, just on New South Wales' announcement, these things are pretty clear. How's it going to be done? What's it going to cost? And who's paying? And at a federal level, I've said very clearly, as have my other colleagues, in fact, we are united on this. The price won't be paid by regional Australians and not at the expense of job losses in the region.
Right. So what are your concerns for regional Australians and farmers?
Well, look, very clearly, our regional areas, a lot of the economy is reliant on agriculture. It's reliant on the resources sector, which has had a phenomenal last 12 months. In fact, they've carried our economy through the pandemic. It's relying on those big, large, and particularly manufacturing in some areas like Gladstone, where there's significant investment around aluminium production, for example, smelters, which are high energy and emissions intensive businesses. And we quite simply, we want to see what the plan is. We want to see what it will cost and what the potential impact is.
We're seeing internationally other nations moving away from using gas and coal. So a lot of the people that we're exporting to, a lot of our resources that we're exporting, a lot of those countries are no longer wanting to use those sorts of resources. Are you not concerned for these communities once those resources are really phased out? Because if there's not a proper transition plan for them, what exactly are they left to do?
Well, the market will always determine what demand is. Right now, there are record prices.
But the market,
thermal coal is incredibly expensive. Gas is going up. And we need to come back and get some facts into this debate. Thermal coal production for Australia, we're just 5% of the world market. 95% of thermal coal production around the world comes from other countries.
Yes, but we largely export a lot of what we produce here in this country.
Yeah, but once again, I mean, those countries are responsible for how they manage their emissions, how they meet their targets and things that they commit to.
Yes, but exporting to those countries, though, is how we're generating a lot of our revenue on those resources. So if there's not a market for it.
Well, firstly, there's definitely a market because we're filling it. Secondly, why shouldn't we look to fill markets and demands in those countries? We are just 5% of thermal coal production. Mm. And thirdly, why can't we look to use technology to ensure we continue to utilise those resources? And it's up to individual countries to make those decisions. It's not Australia's job to tell them how to do their business, just as it's not their job to tell us how to do ours.
Given that Germany has transitioned away from coal mining and has done so without anyone being made redundant. You know, they first started with shutting down brown coal, for instance. They've been called the world's first major renewable energy economy. So the share of renewable electricity rose from just 3.4% of gross electricity consumption in 1990. And they've actually exceeded 10% by 2005. And they've reached 42.1% of consumption in 2019. So if Germany has done this, why are we still looking at opening up coal mines?
Well, on Germany, they have a very different situation. In terms of reliability, they can rely on nuclear energy that's produced in France. They've got interconnectors right across the European Union that they can rely on when their intermittent wind and solar fails. Now, if you look at the EU is still almost 70% reliant on oil, gas and coal for their energy needs and their energy use.
But they're putting plans together to phase that out.
Well, once again, it hasn't happened. Whilst there's demand, Australia will look to fill that demand. We'll look to continue doing what we've done successfully for many decades, and that is to continue to provide opportunities for Australians, for Australian resource workers, and in particular for training our young kids in those very important skill sets, whether that's in trades or traineeships.
Turning back now to the Glasgow conference, the Prime Minister is yet to confirm whether or not he'll be attending the conference himself or whether he'll be sending a senior representative in his place. Do you think this is due to concerns over how Australia will be received at the conference, given our rather lacklustre emissions reduction targets?
Well, firstly, I don't set the PM's diary. That's entirely up to the Prime Minister. And secondly, the United Nations doesn't set what we do in this country. The government of the day, elected by the Australian people, makes that determination. They have an opportunity every 3 years to look at what the government has done and to decide if they want to give them another term or not. And that's how democracy works.
Right. But you do accept, though, that our emission reductions targets sit well below that of our neighbours in the US, the UK, and really most other Western democracies around the world.
Oh, well, what I accept is that our emissions have been reduced by some 20%. That is better than New Zealand, it's better than the US, it's better than Canada, it's better than Japan, it's better than South Korea. And we are delivering on the commitments that we've made in terms of the Paris Agreement. So whilst there's a lot of places that make a lot of noise, Australians expect their governments to deliver on those commitments, and that's what we do.
Again, though, we still haven't committed to net zero emissions by 2050. Will you support this? Will the Nationals support this if Prime Minister Scott Morrison puts together a plan?
Well, as I said earlier, we're yet to see it. We're yet to have that discussion. We don't make decisions on a blank piece of paper.
Right, but there has been continued opposition from the Nationals, from your party, any time that we look at reviewing our emission reduction targets.
Oh, well, there's opposition to potential job losses in regional Australia. It's quite easy for people who are not directly impacted to say that they support particular proposals. But for us, as members of the Nationals party room, we represent some very big areas of the country where there is a very sparse level of population. Jobs are absolutely critical. And I've been up through central Queensland coal areas last week and this week, and no one is asking me about this issue. It's all about jobs. It's all about how we get more people into the regions to fill the open positions that they have. And they're very pleased around what they are doing for Australia's economy and how they're delivering for the Australian people.
Right. Well, Minister Pitt, I do appreciate what a busy day that you have ahead of you. So many thanks for taking the time to join us on The Daily this morning.
That's great to be here.
That was Australia's Resource Minister and Nationals MP Keith Pitt speaking with us there about the upcoming climate change conference in Glasgow. Seems the battle for Australia to cut our emissions to net zero is still raging strong and no closer to being won.